Olivia Stelic has had quite a run in the Army. West Point grad, platoon leader, infantry officer, captain, physical therapist in Afghanistan. She started her service more than a decade ago as a man. And now it is unclear whether people like her will be allowed to follow her path. The Pentagon announced late Tuesday that transgender people can still serve as long as they adhere to their biological sex. Captain Stelic joins us from her home near Fort Carson in Colorado Springs. Captain, thanks for coming on the program.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
So as I understand, you began your transition in 2016, and I know a lot of this policy and whether it applies depends on where someone is in that process. Does this policy apply to you?
Well, so any policy that the DoD implements is going to apply to me as a member of the DoD. I think specifically I'll be part of the so-called grandfather clause here and be quote unquote okay as we move forward. And so maybe not in the specific sense, but I think it applies in general that anytime you put a policy in place that affects a specific group of people, i.e. transgender people in this case, it's going to affect me, whether directly or because of the implications and the intention behind it.
One of the things this policy talks about is that if recruits who identify as transgender have to use uniforms, pronouns, bathroom facilities based on their biological sex, I mean, when you say your grandfather, are you free to serve as a woman, as you, or are you going to face new restrictions on things like that?
No. So as the policy is currently written, I will be allowed to serve as a woman, as myself. But again, 2 years ago, we thought that all trans people coming into the military or already in the military or transitioning would also have that same freedom. And now that has been kind of walked back with this policy. So I think it's still on, you know, right now the policy says that, but it's uncertain.
What will the experience be like for people who will be facing those restrictions and told that they have to use facilities and wear uniforms based on their biological sex?
You know, so I'm a physical therapist, you mentioned that, and I like to think of it as it's like if you were to send somebody as a medical provider, as a doctor, to your physical therapist or to a surgeon and say, I want you to evaluate this person. And I, as a physical therapist or a surgeon, were to say, well, I think that you need surgery or I think that you need physical therapy. And after that, you'll be good to go and you'll be good to serve. But the rules say that we can't actually let you do that. We can't have you have surgery or we can't treat you. So you can stay as long as you don't actually need to be taken care of, which... it just doesn't make sense.
Well, one of the arguments that the Pentagon is making is that if you have a diagnosis of gender dysphoria, which is the feeling that birth identity does not match gender identity, I mean, mm-hmm. they say that that's a serious mental condition similar to other conditions that might prevent you from serving. Do they have an argument in your mind?
So I think there's a couple things there. One is that was kind of the words that were used when we testified before Congress a couple weeks ago. The DoD folks that testified talked about that. But when you read the new policy, it actually says that you can have a diagnosis of gender dysphoria, and that's not disqualifying. It's if you actually need treatment for said diagnosis, which again is this kind of bizarre to me gray area where we're now putting medical providers in this place where they have to make a decision about, well, I can say you have gender dysphoria, but if I have to treat you for it, then you have to get out of the Army, which just doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
You say that, you know, you feel a part of this policy because you're part of the trans community. What is the future like for this community in the military after if this policy goes into effect?
So I think that one day this won't be a question, right? That's why we continue to fight this fight. One day there will be no question about whether or not trans people can serve. And I think, you know, I just got back from Afghanistan. There is already no question about whether we can serve with distinction in all areas of the world, in all austere environments. But in the meantime, it's going to be a struggle for us to continue. We're going to continue to fight this fight to allow everyone to be able to serve openly.
Captain Olivia Stelic, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
You're welcome.